Crystal. He's staying up here tonight because we're going to split this thing. So yeah, like I said, we're Steve and Crystal. We've been running with this community for probably about 4 years now. And the Lord has done amazing things in Lancaster, and He is doing amazing things, and He's going to continue to do amazing things. Amen?
Amen.
So yeah, we're from Lancaster. We are both believers, believe it or not. Literally, I'm like so Christian. So one time when I worked at Latte Love, just down the road, it's a little coffee shop. And I had been up till like 4 a.m, not praying, but because my nephew was born and he was like 2 weeks overdue, so this is a long story. And so I literally stayed up till like 4 a.m, went home, and slept for like half an hour. And like, who all, like, if you like stay up late and wake up early, like, know that that's like a horrible idea. Like, you're much better just like staying up. But I like made a really dumb decision. I decided to go to bed, right? So I go to bed, wake up about half hour later, and I'm whooped. And I'm like, you know what, Kay? I'm like scheduled to go to work, so here I go. So I'm in the coffee shop, just trying to like do anything I can to stay awake. And so I'm just like, shoot, I'm just gonna start praying for my nephew that was just born. So I'm like praying, you know, in Jesus' name, just declarations, whatever. And this customer pulls up, he's like, hey. And he's like, he looks really rough and like tough, right? Like at least 4 earrings on each ear and like a tattoo on his neck, I think. It was like, okay. And so he's like, this is what I want, go and get this thing, grab his change. And in my head that time, I was just like interceding for my nephew, right? And I was like, all right, your total's 557 in Jesus' name. And he like stopped and like looked at me, and I was like, sorry. We're all like super Christian on you or anything, but yep, your total's 557.
She's a believer.
So I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. So yes, we tonight
557 in Jesus' name.
And it was 557. Tonight we're talking about authentic community. Authentic community is a message the Lord put on my heart shortly after we birthed this community, or this community was birthed. So yeah, I'll let you talk about.
Yeah, so we just wanted to share this word. And before we dive just fully into it, I want to give us just a biblical framework for authentic community. In other words, what is that actually, and how it is. So I'm using the term authentic community to describe a group of believers who is committed to the Lord and furthering His purpose, right? And so what separates an authentic community from one who maybe isn't authentic? And because we know there's all kinds of reasons that people gather, right, and do stuff together. It can be sports, it can be, there's chess clubs. Like, there's all kinds of communities, right? What we're talking about tonight is a very specific kind of community. It's the body of Christ. It's believers pressing in together in order to become more like Christ, right? And so before we jump into tonight too far, I just want to give us a biblical context. In other words, what is the definition of a real authentic community, a real body of believers who is pursuing the Lord and who is all in, right? And I'm gonna take us right into Acts 2. So I'm actually gonna ask you guys to turn there or scroll there, if you can. So Acts 2, verse 42. I'm just gonna read this. And as I read this, I want us to be thinking about the question: what is an authentic community? Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is a picture, obviously in Acts 2, this is a picture of just this dynamic group of believers who literally, a couple of chapters later, it's basically proclaimed that they turned the world upside down. This was an authentic community. This was the first church, right? This was the 12 apostles and those who were with them, and they were pursuing the Lord. And here in this passage, we see them basically engaging in authentic community. And I grew up in a religious context. I grew up in the church, and I would read these passages, and I had this hunger in my heart, but it was always kind of like, no, that was the first church. That was people who had personally been with Jesus. That was like for then, but it's not for now, right? Signs and wonders. There's this incredible outpouring of generosity. Every single day, there's people being added to their number. There's salvations breaking out, right? We can see there's healings breaking out. And there's just this dynamic expression of the Christian faith. And it wasn't until later. So growing up, I would think about this, but I would always just kind of be like, no, that's not for today. Well, the Lord changed some things in my mind about that. And today, I'm so convinced that it is for today. And I just want us to think a little bit about the 12 apostles, just as we go into this talk about authentic community, because we have to take ownership of this and realize, like, it's in the heart of God to do that in our midst. It's in the heart of God to do something so dynamic that people would say of it, they're turning the world upside down, right? It's in the heart of God to so empower the church that the book of Acts just looks like chapter 1, right? And not the end. Okay? That's in the heart of God. And so, think about the 12 disciples. And we think of them and we're like, yeah, they were the 12 disciples. Like, of course they could do that. But sometimes we fail to realize that they would have had less resources at their disposal than we do. They would have had less education than we do. Right? They would have been younger than most of us. Many of them, when Jesus ascended, were in their late teens and early 20s. Like, and he gives them the Great Commission. Right? So we got to stop thinking that, like, they could do that because they were different. They were broken human vessels just like us, who struggle with stuff just the way we do. And the difference was that they had an encounter with Jesus. And the difference was that they stepped into this authentic community where this momentum began to build until they literally, totally changed the course of history. Right? And that story lives on in us. All right? That's the power of authentic community. And so, just want to give us a paradigm and even a hope that God wants to do the same thing, and He is doing the same thing in our midst. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's doing it in our midst, okay? This is something He's going to do. He is doing it. And so, I was thinking about how do you define authentic community, and I want to just share with you just three quick points on how to define that. How do we know if we're actually an authentic community that's truly aligned with the purpose of God, or are we just a bunch of people getting together to further our own interests, or just for, because we don't want to be lonely, if you will, right? So there's a lot of reasons people gather, but what is an authentic community? And so the first point I want to make is authentic community is defined by the presence of Jesus. What makes this community of believers authentic is that the presence of Jesus is in our midst. And we gather around the reality of His presence and His person being real. Right? And He's the one who changes lives. He's the one who gives us the commission. He's the one who empowers us to walk this out. And if we don't believe that, and we don't live out of that, then we're not an authentic community. Matthew 18 says this. It says, "Where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." It's a simple promise. If we gather in His name, He's there with us. And if we don't tap into that reality of He is here with us. Stephen's not in charge of tonight. Crystal's not in charge of tonight, although we're bringing the word. Dave's not in charge of tonight. Jesus Christ is here with us. And He is the one that you're showing up for. And He is the one who's going to bring the breakthrough. All right? He is real and He is with us. And if we step into that, and that is the reason we gather, that makes us and defines us as an authentic community. That's the first point. And just a real quick story to illustrate that. So my wife and I were down in Tupelo, Mississippi this past week. And Tupelo, Mississippi is, interestingly enough, the birthplace of Elvis Presley. Never much of an Elvis guy, but I learned a few things. Not a lot, but a few things. I'm actually very intrigued. I kind of want to research. But anyway, so it's his birthplace, right? So there's all kinds of stuff, like, commemorating him. And the whole place kind of has this music vibe. It's pretty cool, actually. And we're eating this restaurant. And I look up in the wall, and it was like, Elvis Festival 2015. And I was just like, what? Like, literally, people will come from around the world to have this festival about a dead guy who died like, I don't know, 40 years ago. And I was just like, what? Like, they have this festival. It's the Elvis Festival. And they're gathering around this Elvis Presley. Like, I'm just like, he's dead. Like, come on. And I struck with this thought. I was like, if we don't have a value for the presence of Jesus, we're just like the Elvis Festival. And the Bible talks about people who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. And we can have a form of godliness, but really, if we don't press into, and if our activity and our gathering doesn't revolve around the manifest presence of Jesus, we're just having a Jesus festival, yes, to commemorate someone who died 2,000 years ago, rather than someone who's active and alive and moving today in our midst. That is what defines an authentic community, is if they are pressing into the reality of His presence. And then we're not just a group of people who gather to commemorate someone who died. Right? I was just like, that's sad, you know? But really, you guys get the point. Second point I want to make. Authentic community is defined by the pursuit of Jesus. And Luke 14 says this, "And whoever does not take up their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." So what defines an authentic community? It's when people are being transformed into the image of Christ. Let me just put it this way. It's impossible for us to define ourselves as an authentic community if there's not constant movement in every single person towards the nature and character of Christ. If there's not people whose lives are being changed and transformed, and there's not people who are pursuing the man Jesus Christ, and are serious about taking up their cross and following Him, whatever the cost, there's no expression of authentic community. An authentic community demands that there be an intense pursuit of the man Jesus. In Acts 2, they literally devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Right? There was this constant pursuit of Jesus Christ and wanting to be made more like Him. If authentic community doesn't change you, it's not authentic. Because authentic community is rooted in this idea of pursuing Jesus and becoming more like Him. And there's a momentum that builds when a group of people begin to step into that, right? So authentic community defined by the pursuit of Jesus. And thirdly, my last point is this. Authentic community is defined by the mission of Jesus. All right? I'm going to read a verse to you out of Matthew 28. It's a well-known verse. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Authentic community is consumed with a missional impulse. We are consumed by these words of Jesus that say, go into all the world, make disciples. Right? There's this thing, there's this impulse, and I call it an impulse because it's more than like, oh, I should probably do this. It's more than like, well, I want to rack up some brownie points. It's more than like, I want to be the one who's making a difference. No, it's this impulse that is birthed in us by the Holy Spirit that says, go, make disciples, make a difference, right? And whatever that looks like, whether it's go to your neighborhood, your workplace, your family, your friends, right, to another nation. It's this missional impulse that drives an authentic community. Did you guys know, if there is not a missional impulse, there is no authentic community. We cannot be about just gathering and that's it. We cannot be about just, we're in this thing for the group of people that are in the room. Now the whole idea is there's a missional impulse that thrusts us into the harvest field and we become the laborers that Jesus prayed for. Right? Let me tell you guys about the Dead Sea. Anyone want to hear about the Dead Sea? All right. Okay, I see a couple of hands in the back. I'll talk about the Dead Sea for you two guys, all right? The Dead Sea has a 35% salt content because there's no outlets. There's no water flowing out of the Dead Sea. So what happens is all this water flows into the Dead Sea from the Jordan River and from other subsidiaries. And eventually the water evaporates, but the salt remains. All right? And because the amount of salt just increases because if salt doesn't evaporate, if it can't flow away, This water is intensely salty. So how is that relevant? Well, I'm getting there, right? My thought that I had with this was, so if it's so salty, why isn't it called the Salt Sea? No, it's called the Dead Sea because nothing can live there. I've been there. You do not have to worry about getting bitten by a shark in that sea. Like, there is no life in there. There is nothing but salt and water that's evaporating and salt that's staying. All right, so it's called the Dead Sea because there can be no life when there is no flow going out. All right, so all this water flows in, but there's a total lack of any kind of living ecosystem because the salt that remains just kills it. And so I want to connect this because if there's authentic community, you can be passionate about the pursuit of Christ. You can be passionate about the presence of Christ. If you're not somehow releasing that through your life, if there's not a missional impulse, if there's not a, if you don't take seriously the words of Jesus to go and make disciples, it's only a matter of time before in that community there will be very little life. And there will just be this stagnant, salty, like brackish environment where nothing can actually live. So an authentic community is defined by the mission of Jesus. Those three things. So I'm going to turn it back over to Crystal and she's gonna take us into the, sort of the next phase here, if you will.
So you guys might be sitting here tonight and saying to yourself, but why should I care? Why should I sit here and listen to you talk about authentic community? I have relationships. I have people in my life. If you know me, you know I'm very passionate about relationships. I'm passionate about connecting with people. And I want to propose something to you tonight that the little thing that's sitting in your pocket, your phone, is the very thing that's numbing your desire and your drive for authentic community. And you might think, okay, wow, that's a little bit of a bold statement, but it's an epidemic that is running rampant in the millennial generation. And you can sit here and be like, oh, I heard that before, and you know, I don't really care. I still have my Instagram and I still have my Facebook. But it is sad. It's sad to think that your entire community can be held within your cell phone and without you ever coming out of your box. And there's some of you here today that there's, you know that there's something inside of you. There's something inside that says, like you've built it up. Like it's I can't find a better word for it, but it's your inner man, right? It's the person that feeds when you're in the presence of the Lord. It's your spirit. And some of you have taken time to be with the Lord and to build that up on the inside. But there's nothing that happens in your relationships. There's nothing that changes in your families. There's nothing that changes in your community. I knew I had something inside of me that I had to learn to articulate and to release. And I came to that realization when I was about 17. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was crazy. I saw radical fruit. I saw salvations. I saw other people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I saw healings. But there was a serious disconnect when it came to myself, when it came to my character. I had a passionate walk with the Lord. I was spending hours with the Lord on a day-to-day basis. I had tons of knowledge. But there was a serious void in the hunger that I had and how it actually came to be, how it actually came to fruition. And this really came to a peak. I went on a trip to Haiti back in 2014, and I had originally planned to stay for 6 months. And in my head, I said, you know what, it's actually probably going to be a lifelong thing. Like, by land to serve, by family, by anyone I know, I'm just going to like figure it out in Haiti, and I'm going to be awesome, and I'm going to save Haiti. Well, about like, let's see, I got there. It was literally probably like 24 hours later. I'm like lying in my bed, I'm just like, oh my gosh. I have no clue what I'm doing. I still have this relationship with the Lord. I'm still passionate. I'm still fiery. But it's just like, oh my gosh, like I'm really lonely. And I was with family. I lived with family when I was there. But there was just something inside that screamed like, you need people. No. I only need the Lord. He's enough. And I literally, the whole time I was there, I was like, you know what, tomorrow I'm just going to go, I'm going to change Haiti, I'm going to do it somehow, I don't know how, but I'm going to do it. And I came home after 6 months, the Lord, so good. I came home after 6 months, and I was so confused, I was so lost. I was like, okay, I cannot do this again. I have to find a way to like fill this void inside of me. That's not this like, you know, everybody calls it the creator void. Jesus, like, you know, God created us, there's a void inside of you, and you won't fill it until you find him. It was not that. It was this desire inside of me to know and to be known by people. I was desperate, and I wanted people to do life. I wanted the people that I did life with to be the people that urged me on in my relationship with the Lord. And those two things were so disconnected. And there may be some of you here tonight who are passionately pursuing the Lord, but it just really seems like something's missing. You feel like you're the only one. You've asked yourself the question, am I the only one that experiences these thoughts? Am I the only one that actually wants to change the world? Am I the only one that wants to go to the Middle East? Am I the only one that cares about orphans in Africa? Am I the only one that wants to see Amish young people come to the Lord? And you seem to go around with you go around and around in your head with the same thought patterns. And some of you are surrounded by people that love you, but you still feel lonely. And then there might be some of you in the room that say, you know what? I said this a lot. I said, I'm in a wilderness season. I literally used that phrase the week after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I used it all the time. You'd be like, hey, how's your season? Oh, it's good. It's a wilderness season. It's just me and the Lord, we're figuring stuff out. And there's two types of wilderness seasons. There's the Jesus wilderness season, and we see it in Jesus' life right after he gets baptized. The dove descends, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he goes out into the wilderness, and he experiences, like, crazy dynamics. He, like, literally gets tempted by demons. Tormented by demons. I don't know what that means. But he's also ministered to by angels. I don't think he drank water at all, which is nuts. That's nuts. 40 days in the desert without water, or food, obviously. And then he comes out and he's literally tempted by the devil. Like, the devil, like, you know, you guys know the story. But I want to, and then there's the contrast. There's the children of Israel wilderness. And I urge you to look at your season and what is the reality of it? What's the reality of your season? What's the reality of your wilderness? And the Jesus wilderness, and I say this as a blanket statement and no one is exempt from this. The Jesus wilderness is only meant to be a couple weeks at the most. But there's many of you here tonight that are in the children of Israel wilderness. And you keep going around and around. And they even, and this was my story, they experienced radical miracles as well. They were literally led by cloud by day and fire by night. I mean, come on. I don't think any of us are experiencing that in the Israelite wilderness. And they saw just radical miracles. I mean, the sea opens, food's falling from the sky. I mean, Jesus didn't even have that. But yet, there was a void, and there was an unbelief and a hopelessness that kept them where they are. And you might be able to identify with the children of Israel in that they had encounters. So the question is, like I said, some of you have that merry-go-round of thought patterns. It never ends. And you have a cycle. You have a cycle of isolation. So the question is, how do we break out of the cycle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to chime in here. I mean, really what Crystal's saying is just, you know, without this reality of authentic community, you're not going to make it. Newsflash. Like, there are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. Why? There's only people who are grounded in relationship, first with Christ, and then with other people.
That's good.
And so that's really what we're going after here. Just saying, and you know, this gets better. You know, I painted the picture of what an authentic community looks like first and how to get you guys to see that and get hope-filled by that. But first we have to experience what we're doing now is we're experiencing the tension of just the reality so many of us are in of isolation and maybe loneliness and maybe feeling like you're the only one. And so how do you get out of that cycle? And one of the first things I propose to you is maybe getting out of that cycle requires taking responsibility. You're like, what? No. Maybe part of the reason that you're in the cycle that you're in of isolation and loneliness is there's just this lack of responsibility of fully engaging, right? And how many of you guys were at the Send in Florida? Raise your hand if you were there. Oh yeah, this is gonna be good. Okay, quite a few of you. You were at the Send in Florida. It's this pretty awesome gathering. And Banning Leapshire was there from Jesus Culture, and he shared this story and this concept of taking responsibility. And I'm pretty much going to borrow it wholesale for tonight because it was so powerful. All right? So he told this story where Banning and two of his friends, Bob and Jim, all right, they're on a road trip, cruising down the road. Okay, you know what happens on a road trip? Eventually run out of gas. Time to get gas. Pull in the gas station. Banning's driving, Bob and Jim, you know, one shot, got one in the back. So Banning hops out, he cruises inside, he's going to the restroom. He's got to go. And Bob, like, he needs food, right? So he goes inside, he does his shopping, gets some food. He has his road trips, everything looks delicious until you open it and try it. And so he gets some food, you know, he's doing his thing. And Jim, who's in the back, he's just chilling on his phone, right? He ain't getting out, he ain't moving. He's catching up on his, I don't know what he needs to catch up on. And so they hop in the car, right? And they drive down the road. And like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes go by. And all of a sudden the car sputters and it's out. And it's not running anymore. And they're like, this is really frustrating. Not a good start to a road trip. What's the problem, right? So they're messing around underneath the hood. And suddenly the thought occurs to Banning. He's like, did anyone put gas in the car? And Bob's like, oh, I thought you did it. And Banning's like, oh, Jim, I thought you did it. And Jim's like, oh, Bob, I thought you did it. No one put gas in the car. And this is how it is with taking responsibility. All of us think that someone else is going to do it. All of us think that someone is going to just sort of magically step up and all of a sudden the lost are going to start to get saved, right? That someone is out there somewhere praying, right? Someone's taking responsibility for breakthrough, right? Surely someone, some like around me, there's awesome people around me, but no. It's just like the gas in the car. When everyone else expects someone else to do it and no one takes responsibility, guess what happens? It doesn't happen. It's the same way with this concept of engaging in authentic community. If you're constantly in this state where you're just waiting for it to happen, you're just waiting for the right group of people to come around you and you're just going to be ready to roll. You're going to have your crew, right? No, there's an element of taking responsibility where we engage with people and we press into relationships and we ask the Lord. Right? We ask the Lord. I was in the Children of Israel wilderness, right? It was a couple of years where I walked in isolation. And I knew it was not okay, right? And I would just cry out to the Lord, God, I'm asking you for people that I can relate to. God, I'm asking you, I can just remember so clearly as a 19-year-old, God, I just want a group of people I can worship with. I just want a group of people I can worship with, right? And so there's this element of taking responsibility that is crucial to authentic community becoming a reality in your life. And if we're not willing to do that, we're probably going to continue to circle around the mountain just like the children of Israel, right? A lot of us can relate to this. We go to another nation. Yay, it's awesome. Come back home. Oh, sucks. Go to a conference. Yay, it's awesome. Come back home. Right back down the dumps, right? Like, what is that? That is isolation. That is a lack of people around you. That is a disconnect between your real life and circumstances and your sort of over here in this greenhouse circumstances. And if you don't connect the two, there's going to be a constant roller coaster and you're not going anywhere. Authentic community is the bridge that bridges that gap and brings you into health and a season of consistent growth.
Yeah, the second thing that when I look at our generation and I look at what's going on in the earth, the second thing that I can identify as a problem when it comes to engaging in authentic community is commitment. And I literally just lost like 45 of you. But we are, like I said before, like not everyone in here is a millennial. Praise God. Praise God. But a lot of us in here are millennials. And we have a problem with commitment. We have a serious problem with commitment. We have more options than any other generation has ever had. We literally have a smorgasbord. And even though we have these like true, like these real options, we also have these like alternate options. Kind of like I was talking about, like with your phone, you have alternate, like you have options.
I'm just gonna give an example of that.
Go for
just,
it.
So even just thinking that through, like how that plays out in our lives, like we don't really know what it's like to just not have anything to stimulate our brain, right? And so we can literally be in this place where like there's really nothing to do, and like I do this, right? My phone comes out, and it's like I'm gonna find something to stimulate my brain because I don't want to just be sitting here doing nothing. Like that's one of the ways it plays out, and that has a bearing on our relationships, and as an extension of that, our community. And ultimately, we can't commit to anything long enough to see it through because we constantly need this stimulation, right? Commitment requires plowing through some tough stuff, inevitably. If you have a phone in your hand, you don't have to do that. Don't like this YouTube video? Scroll down to the next one. Don't like this song? Click to the next one, right? I mean, it's just one example of how technology changes. There's other things too, but.
Yeah. And so sometimes I see this in young people where they want to keep their options open. And so they just float around between three different communities, right? And we end up with enough surface level connections and relationships that we are able to ignore our God-given desire to be known and to know people.
Say it again. That's good.
Sometimes we want to keep our options open. How many of you know you want to keep your options open? So we end up with enough surface level interactions, because it can hardly even be called relationships, honestly. We end up with enough surface level interaction that we can numb our God-given desire to know and to be known by people.
Wow. That's good.
And the third point that I want to make tonight about engaging with authentic community is that we need to be willing to take the risk that comes with authentic relationships. The reality is, people will let you down. I think it's so easy to idealize authentic community. It's so easy to look at Bethel and be like, oh my gosh, if I would just move to Redding, California, my life, and I would just have so many friends, and I would just, oh my goodness, girl. If it's so easy to idealize. I'll never forget, I was up at Gateway House of Prayer. I don't know, this was literally only like 6 months ago maybe, and J.C. Alzamores was speaking, and he was talking about how he had just been at Bethel the week before, and he was like, dude, I gotta tell you guys, like, it's easy to see Bethel on YouTube and see all their spontaneous songs and to idealize, you know, their worship leaders, but I tell you, they got problems. And I was like, get him off the stage! Full stop it! No, I'm not. I was just like, oh, man, are you serious? Like, are you sure? But they have to. They're human beings. They're human beings. They're just like us. The emotions that you experience when you see someone doing something better than you. Jealousy. Offense. Bitterness. Whatever it be, it's real for everyone. It's all across the board. So that's Debbie Downer for you. People are going to let you down, even in authentic community. Yet we see this prayer come out of Jesus' mouth in John 17:20. And he asks the Father to give us, he's praying, and he says, I pray not only for these that I have, but for those that will come.
That's us.
That's you and me. That's us. That's like us right here in the room right now. If you're a believer, you're in the body. Like, he's praying for us, and he says, Abba, I ask that you would give them the same unity that I have with you. I read that the other day, and I was like, Jesus, like, that is asking a lot. They had perfect unity. They were in sync. They were the same person.
Talking about the Father and the Son.
They were the same person. Like, I can't talk to Dave like he's the same person. Like, what? Like, what is he getting at?
Just to clarify, when you're saying they, you're talking about the Father and the Son. Like, he's asking.
Honestly, Jesus is God and God is Jesus.
Amen.
He asks the Father to give us as his body the same unity that he experienced with the Father. And then Jesus experiences relational brokenness. He literally experienced so many broken relationships. Judas, for one. I mean, come on. Homeboy literally turns him over. Like, just completely denies him. Peter. His brothers. His brothers literally, like, said, like, he's gone crazy. His bolts are loose. So Jesus experiences relational brokenness. God in the flesh experiences relational brokenness, and yet he prays this in John 17:20. And we are broken people. We're relating in brokenness. We communicate in brokenness. So I ask again, how can he expect this of us? How can he expect me to live in unity with Eddie and with Merv and with Dave? I want to propose an element of the cross to you tonight. He knew what the cross was going to bring. He knew how much redemption was going to come. And we've all heard the gospel, right? Jesus died to take away your sins. And then you have the Holy Spirit-filled gospel, where he not only died to take away your sins, but he came to give you the Holy Spirit and fullness of life. I want to propose to you a third element of the gospel. He came so that I could live in unity with Jesse. He came so I could actually come out of the human relational brokenness and actually love the people around me. Because void of that, what we're talking about is never possible.
Yeah, it's true.
We need to get in touch with the power of the Holy Spirit that gives me the strength to overcome offense. Because it's going to happen, I promise you. People will call you out, and sometimes they'll be right, and sometimes they'll be wrong, and both times you have to overcome offense.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good word.
The cross was not just for your personal sanctification, but it was also for the sanctification and the unity of his bride.
Amen. Amen.
So we're just going to get everyone to stand. Jimmy, if I could get you to come up and we're going to play a little bit on the keys. We're just going to get real for a little bit. And that's honestly the fourth thing that I have on my list that you have to do in order to engage with authenticity. You need to get real. You are not the savior of the world, and you're not going to be the one to single-handedly save Lancaster. Newsflash. I thought I was going to save Haiti, and if someone had told me I was going to do otherwise,
rebuke that.
Rebuke it. Throw that one in the trash. You need to get real with your stuff. In Mark 2, we see the story of a paralytic man. And his friends bring him to Jesus. The house is literally so full, they can't even bring him into the door. They can't even get him, like, the whole reason that they brought him there, they can't even get into that man. So they literally dig a hole into the roof, and they drop him in before Jesus. And it says in Mark 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he declared him healed.
Come on. Yeah.
The facts are that this man, they were living in a day and age void of modern medicine. He was going to die a paralytic. There was no option. There were no options for him. He could not physically pick himself up and take himself to Jesus. And the beautiful picture and revelation that we get from this story is that true, authentic community will always bring you to the feet of Jesus. Every single time. There's some of you in this room and that you want a community. You've been crying out to the Lord for it. I want to agree with you tonight and I want to partner with your prayers and in your intercession and I want to pray those people in for you. But there's some of you here tonight that need to deal with some offense. And for some of you, I think it's even secondhand offense. You saw something happen to either your parents or to a loved one or to a good friend. And you saw it happen and you said, you know what? I never want to run with other people. I never want to run with people because people hurt me. Your emotions received a message. Your heart received a message that said, you know what, you're just going to be stuck doing this on your own. I propose to you tonight that your destiny and the fullness of your calling will never be fully fulfilled void
first, I just want to remind us that there's no way to live in community with other people, authentic community, if we haven't first connected to the man Jesus Christ, right? There's no way, like Crystal, to experience the kind of unity that he prayed for without tapping into the supernatural reality of who Jesus Christ is, right? And we're well aware this is Easter weekend, and I just want to remind us, this is about the man. This is about God who became a man, right? He came to the earth. He walked among us. He sacrificed himself on a cross to make atonement for our sins. He was laid in a grave. And in 3 days, he rose again, right? He broke the power of sin. And he made it possible for you to come to the Father. And if you've never experienced that, if you've never stepped into a living relationship with Jesus Christ, or you are connected to the God who created you, and you're empowered to walk out who he made you to be, I want to invite you into that tonight. All right, so even just right now, I just want every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want us to meditate on this a little bit, all right? Just this reality that if we've never stepped into a relationship with Jesus, there's no way that our relationship with others can be authentic because it starts with him. And so if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I just want you right now, if you want to make that commitment tonight, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you up or embarrass you. I just want you to make a commitment and signify that by raising your hand. Thank you. I'm just going to give a couple minutes longer. He's the one who died and rose again so that you can know the God who created you. And if you want to say yes to him tonight, I just want you to put your hand up right now. Yeah, amen. So we're just going to pray. I'm just going to pray with all those who raise their hand. I want everyone else to pray along with me. And we're just going to acknowledge that right now. And then we're going to shift into getting rid of some of the stuff that keeps us from engaging authentically. So, Father, I just thank you right now, God, for salvation. I thank you right now, God. Jesus, that you came, you made a way for us to enter into relationship with the Father. And I thank you for every single person tonight who made that commitment right now. And I bless them, God, to connect with you. And out of that, to live a life in authentic community. Amen.
There's some of you here and you're like, I know what I need to do. I need to go find my crew. I need to run with them. And that may not be us. And that's totally fine. I'm not going to have a sign-up sheet out as you walk out and make you sign it. But there's some of you here where the Lord's marking your heart in a way that's saying, you know what, you're home, you found your people. You found people you can run with. That's amazing. So we're just gonna, I think what's gonna be best is just turn to the person on your right or to your left. Embrace them, and I'm gonna pray something out. I'm all about holding hands. Yes, Jesus, we thank you for this group of people. God, I thank you. Isolation is broken. God, I thank you that a fence is breaking off right now.
Yes, God.
The willingness to take on the risk that comes
comes with authentic relationships. Give us unoffendable hearts, God. Abba, we ask your grace to get real. To not be afraid of our junk. To not be afraid of our insecurities. I ask that you would empower us right now by the Holy Spirit to do what it takes to wholeheartedly engage.
So good, guys. We're just going to do one more thing. We're going to take this the final step, and then Arlen, you can come up.
Arlen's going to transition us. That's good, Jimmy. Thanks, man. So, you guys still with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So good.
Yes. There's breakthrough happening right now, guys.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
There's breakthrough happening right now in people's lives. Come on. And so, we're just going to do one more thing. We're going to declare some things together as a room. Right? I'm going to drop this mic. And we're going to declare some things together as a room, and then Arlen's going to transition us into a time of fellowship. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say some things really loudly, and I want the whole room declaring them after me, all right? So for instance, I'm going to say, I want authentic community, right? And you guys are going to shout back, I want authentic community, all right? And we're just going to declare it. We're going to have some declarations here, because there's something about when you take what you're thinking and you just declare that out, that shifts the atmosphere of your life and actually releases that breakthrough into your life. And just like Crystal was saying, our prayer is not so much that, hey, we want you to come, like, run with our community, although that's awesome. But it's that somehow, some way, you would get plugged in to a community where you can be growing and you can really fulfill the purpose of the Lord for your life, all right? So can we do these declarations? You guys with me?
Come on.
All right? We're going to start with this one. I love you, Jesus!
I love you, Jesus!
You're worthy of my commitment.
You're worthy of my commitment.
I release offense right now.
I release offense right now.
I take responsibility right now.
I take responsibility right now.
I make a commitment right now.
I make a commitment right now.
To pursuing you. In authentic community. How about we lift up a shout?
Yeah. Wow, who feels better after that? Come on. Wow. Who's grateful for the death and resurrection of Jesus? Man, that's the whole, just like Stephen Crystal shared, man, our connection to him is the only way we can really be connected to others. Cool. So, man, such a good word, guys. Yeah. Who's grateful for Stephen Crystal? Come on. Yeah. Just want to say, it's such a privilege. I actually live in their house. I have the privilege of living in their house. Highly blessed and favored, for sure. But anyway, just want to say, guys, I'm really so grateful for your lives. So thankful what you guys poured in this community. And so, anyway, just bless you guys. So grateful for who you are. Thanks for sharing the word tonight. If you guys are interested, if you're more interested in this and get connected with this community, we do have some small groups. We're just starting out. We get together. So we call this a ministry night. And we get together once a month, every third Saturday night of the month. We gather. Currently, we're gathering here. That might change, but we gather here Thursday night of the month, 7 o'clock, and we're also starting small groups. Mm-hmm. Anybody in the house connect with the small groups?
Give it up!
Yes. So if you're interested in, so we gather every other week. I think there's currently at least two nights of the week. I think it's Tuesday. We're starting one Wednesday night in about a month or so. So if you're interested, you can sign up in the back, or you can talk to Dave. You raise your hand, Dave. Dave Smoker in the front. And how about the small group leaders? Could you guys raise your hands in the house? Yes. Yes. Yeah, so if you have further interest, or you want to get connected, talk to
them. Small business too.
Yeah.
If you're married, you're dating.
Anyway, all the singles. There you heard it. So yeah, there's an opportunity to get connected with that, small groups. Also, we have this as well, and zero pressure at all. If you want to give to the night, there is a offering box in the back. But we just rent the facility here, got some fellowship afterwards. And so, there's still more good things to come. We're just going to have some food. Yes, and have some food and fellowship. Just want to say, guys, in the next hour or so, just be super intentional about that. If you're sharing your story with somebody, or, man, feel free to pray with somebody. The ministry continues. It doesn't just stop now. Yes. So the next hour as we gather, feel free to hang out till about 10 o'clock, whatever, 10, something like that. So awesome. I'm going to pray. And if you could, after prayer, if you guys could move the chairs off to the side, that'd be awesome. We're going to bring out some tables, bring out some food. A little bit of help with that would be awesome. So we're going to pray, and we'll transition into fellowship. So, Father, thank you so much for tonight. Yes, Jesus, we thank you for who you are. I thank you for your sacrifice, God. We celebrate your resurrection, God. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ tonight. Thank you, God, that you have invited us, God, into an eternal relationship with the Father. Eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you invited us, God, to live in authentic community, God. And we just, God, we're so grateful for who you are. Thank you for your blood and your sacrifice, your love. God, would you bless the fellowship the next hour or so as we connect? God, even just ask for divine connections, Jesus. As we interact with each other, I pray for a prophetic spirit.
Yes.
God, that even just words be given. Things would be declared in the next hour or so to bring life and hope in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Come on.
still recording.